Let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to 1 John chapter 4. My heart's full tonight. I love it when my heart's full. Full, swelled with praise. I heard years ago that a preacher asked a man, said, "How you doing?" And he said, "Well, I'm doing pretty good under the circumstances." And the preacher said, "What are you doing under there?" Ain't that how we live most of the time? I didn't say you, we. We live under the circumstances. Tonight I want to talk a little bit about victory. Let's read in 1 John chapter number 5, verse number 1. "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God." Now you could read over this, but if you didn't get the thrust of John's message in 1 John, he tells us that there's many false prophets that's gone out into the world, and what are they preaching? They're preaching a Jesus, but it's not the Jesus of the Bible. It's not the Jesus that's virgin born. It's not the Jesus that is God incarnate. You remember the centurion after the crucifixion, and Jesus yielded up the ghost. Brother Steve, he stood there and he said, "Surely or truly this was the Son of God." Something took place in his heart when he saw what happened at Calvary that day. He saw a man die in victory. Jesus didn't die in defeat. He said, "I have the power to lay my life down." And he said, "I have the power to take it up again." And I believe tonight that God wants us to be born again in victory. I believe God wants us to live in victory. And I believe God wants us to die in victory as the people of God. We don't always do that. I've spent a lot of defeated days in my Christian life. Is anybody with me tonight? Amen. Discouraged, down, defeated, so to speak. The Bible said that whosoever believeth that Jesus Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him, that begat, that would be the Lord, loveth him also that is begotten of him. That's talking about loving one another again. The Bible talked about us being begotten by the word of truth. Being born again, not of a corruptible seed, but an incorruptible seed, the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. He said, "By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God." It's kind of, the book is teaching us, if you love God, you love his children, and if you love his children, you love God. You can't love one without loving the other. The Bible said, when we love God and keep his commandments. "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." You understand what that means, don't you? In other words, you're glad to keep them. You don't feel like, somebody said, "Well, we're not under the law, we're under grace," and that's true. But when you get under grace, beloved, you want to do what God has commanded us to do in the law. You want to love one another. You don't want to steal anymore. You don't want to lust anymore. There's things that it just comes because the Holy Spirit comes in us. Then the Bible said, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world." This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? He ties it right back in again. It must have been a mess in John's day. Even in the first century, there must have been so many that were preaching that other gospel. He said many false prophets are gone out into the world. So many that were preaching another gospel. And Paul said, another Jesus. Pray with me a moment. Father, Thank you for the word of God. Thank you, Lord, tonight for these that have gathered. I pray, Lord, I could say something that would be an encouragement to our hearts tonight. Thank you, God, for the good singing this evening. It has blessed my heart. The choir, Lord, full on a Sunday night. What a blessing. Lord, the special music. Lord, even the congregation singing victory in Jesus. What a blessing. I pray, Father, tonight that you would touch our voice and help us, our Lord, be able to just deliver the word that you put in our hearts. Lord, some of our people tonight not feeling well at home. I think about Sister Fran, Lord, and pray you'd touch her. I think about Brother Larry tonight. Pray you'd touch him, our Lord. I pray, Lord, you'd touch Brother Bill, this surgery that's coming up. So serious, our Father. But Lord, you are the great physician. We ask you, Lord, to help him. Continue, Lord, to keep your hand on Brother Brian and Sister Kim. Keep your hand on our church, our Lord. Lord, I pray that you'll just minister to our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to talk a little bit about victory tonight. Break it down in three areas, if I may. And just try to be a blessing in your hearing tonight. I got to thinking about the song. I asked Brother Ralph to sing it tonight, Victory in Jesus. I'd like to start the message by talking about victory in the beginning. How many remembers when you come to know Him as Lord and Savior in your life? I thought about this, Brother Steve, and right now there's been a celebration in Washington, D.C. because the Washington Nationals, they won the World Series. And you think about how short-lived that'll be, and then they'll be starting up another season, and there'll be another playoffs, I'm not trying to diminish it. It's a great thing that they won. It's a great emotion right now. But it won't be long and that will be gone. Aren't you glad that you ran into a victory when you met Jesus that just keeps getting better and better? Amen. One old fella said, gooder and gooder and tweeter and tweeter. Amen. That's the victory when we get saved by the grace of God. The Bible's talking about whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ. General Dwight Eisenhower said this. He said, there are no victories at discount prices. Beloved, listen, Jesus paid it all at Calvary. And we're not fighting for the victory, but rather we're fighting from the victory that's already been won. Brother John mentioned in Sunday school this morning and what he was doing when he was thinking about things that the Lord would require of him. Before that he got saved, he was counting the cost. And beloved, if we're going to trust Jesus and take up our cross and follow him, there's going to be a price involved. Amen? And I believe with all of my heart, there's so many in the world that will go on in their sin because they're not willing to pay that price. Jesus paid it all at Calvary. The least we could do is come to him in faith. The word in the song said, I heard an old, old story. You remember when you heard it? How a Savior came from glory. Listen, listen, that means he didn't start in the manger. That means he was sitting there at the right hand of God the Father and he came down, say amen, to be born of a virgin. How a Savior came from glory. How he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. The modernists want to change that word wretch. Honey, I'm going to tell you what, if you meet Jesus in faith, you'll realize how holy he is. And you'll realize how wretched you are. Whether you're 8 years old or 80, amen, you'll understand that the sinner is standing there in need of a Savior. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sin. And won the victory. The victory in the beginning. Listen, we should never get over that. We ought to always be able to go back, and every born-again believer ought to have a spot. Listen, they might not know the day, But they would probably know whether it was a weekday or a Sunday. They would probably know whether it was summertime or wintertime, whether it was a Bible school or a Christmas play or a revival meeting or a Sunday night service. They would know. Listen, they might not know the date, but you ought to be able to take somebody to the place where God put victory in your heart and in your life. You came from sin to know the Savior. Listen, how can God take that load of sin off of us and us not know that something happened? How can we that are wretched and filthy and dirty and blind leave an encounter with Jesus clean and seen and knowing our name is written in heaven and not know that something transpired, that something took place? That's why later in the chapter, I'm not getting to that tonight at all, that these things that are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Let me ask you a question tonight. Everybody sitting in this room tonight, if you died right now, young person, old person, anybody in between, do you know for sure, do you know for sure that heaven would be your home? That's a legitimate question. I didn't ask if you're a Baptist. I didn't ask if you've been baptized. I didn't ask if you pray. I didn't ask if you read the Bible. I didn't ask if you're a good person. Ask if you've been born again. Do you know that you know that you know that heaven would be your home? That's why I'm going to lay down tonight in peace. I'll be concerned about a lot of things when I lay down tonight because I am every night. Listen, I believe God wants us to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. But I'm not laying down tonight concerned about where I'm going if Jesus comes in the middle of the night. Or Brother Rose, if his old heart stops ticking in the middle of the night, I'm not worried about that. Not concerned about it at all. That's in the hands of the Lord. Victory in the beginning. Think about this tonight. What about victory on the journey? Listen, a lot of people act like getting saved is it. And Sister Jerry, that's one thing you really need to teach Haley. Honey, this is just the start. Getting saved and getting baptized, that's great. That's wonderful. But that's just the beginning. That's just the beginning. What about the journey? What about victory on the journey? In victory in the beginning, there's salvation by grace through faith. Victory on the journey, there's sanctification. How? By grace. Through faith. You remember Paul wrote to the church at Galatia. They got tangled up trying to go back under the law. He said, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Oh no, beloved, we began by grace through faith. We're supposed to walk by grace through faith. That's supposed to be the journey. And listen, a lot of people are defeated in the journey because they're not walking in faith. The Bible said the just shall live by faith. I believe it's important. And listen, the Bible said in the book of Chronicles, the Bible said, Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord. Thou art exalted as head above all. Psalm 98:1 said, O sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand, his holy arm, hath gotten him the victory. The victory tonight is in Jesus. It was in Jesus in the beginning when I got saved, and it's in Jesus tonight on the journey, on the way. There's no victory apart from him. I want to give you a couple things tonight. First of all, victory in the trials of life. How many knows the trials are coming? I promise you they are. Listen, this is victory in the trials. How many knows a little bit about the Apostle Paul's life? How he was shipwrecked. How he was stoned. Left outside the city for dead. How that he was in perils of countrymen and perils among false brethren. I'm telling you, beloved, a night and a day in the deep. There were many times when Paul, listen, was in jail, beaten for preaching the word of God, his back bleeding. And listen to what he said. He said, thanks be to God which always causes us to triumph in Christ. What about that? He said it didn't matter how low I got, I had victory. Why? Because my victory was in Jesus. Amen. Who shall separate us, he said, from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Listen, it's one thing to write something down. Paul's writing under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, but he's also writing from experience. He said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? In other words, I've been there. Distress? I've been there. Persecution? I've been there. Famine? I've been there. Nakedness? I've been there. Peril? Sword? He said, that is written. For thy sake we're killed all the day long. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. He said, nay, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. Here was a man that didn't just start on the road to Damascus in victory, but he was still living in that victory on the journey. And what a blessing that is. Paul said, I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels, principalities, powers, things present, things to come, height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There was victory in the beginning. There's victory on the journey. Not only victory in the trials of life, but what about victory in the temptations of life? Let me ask you something. Let me ask you a personal question. I'm asking you to raise your hand. How many's ever failed in a time of temptation? I may ask it again. How many's ever failed in the time of temptation? You say, preacher, we can have victory in the time of temptation. According to the Bible, we can. I believe it said something like this, Brother Steve, there is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. And the Bible said here, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make you a way of escape. We can win tonight. Even in that area, we don't have to be defeated in the trials of life. We don't have to be defeated in the temptations of life. We can win. Because listen, he was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. What a blessing tonight. There's victory in the beginning. There's victory on the journey. And I believe that tonight. The Bible said, or the songwriter said, I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing. How he made the lame to walk again, and he caused the blind to see. Then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. That's not talking about, beloved, when we got saved. That's talking about those times in life. How many's ever been through those times, beloved, when you didn't know if you could put another foot in front of the other? But along came Jesus, amen, gave you the strength that you needed. Victory in the beginning, salvation by grace through faith. Victory on the journey, sanctification by grace through faith. Let me close with this tonight. Victory in the end. Thank the Lord tonight there's going to be victory for the children of God in the end. I titled this Satisfaction by Grace Through Faith. Listen to what the psalmist said. In Psalm 17 verse 15 he said, as for me, I will behold thy face, not I might, but I will behold thy face in righteousness. He said, I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. I promise you, beloved, we'll not be disappointed as God's people. The Bible said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And when that day comes, there'll be victory in the end. Someone said one time, said, God's people die well. And I believe that's true, amen. I thank the Lord tonight. Listen to what the Bible said in 1 Corinthians 15. It said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. How many believe that? For this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, Paul said, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. God wants us to start in victory in the beginning when we get saved. He wants us to walk in victory on the journey. And he wants us to die, raising high that blood-stained banner and just telling a lost and dying world, you don't have to be afraid to die when you're living for the Lord. And he has saved you by his good, wonderful grace. I read the last chapter in the last book, and we win. The songwriter said, stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner. It must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory his army shall he lead, till every foe is vanquished and Christ is Lord indeed. I say tonight, let's not just be winners in the end, but let's be winners on the journey. Amen. Let's live for the Lord. Live in victory. I want to read something to you tonight in closing that I hope will bless your heart the way it did mine. Can you imagine tonight going before a firing squad? Brother Wayne, you'll want this. I'll give it to you, brother. Colin Chapman, in The Case for Christianity, he quotes a Ugandan bishop, or Ugandan bishop, Festo Kevinger's account of the 1973 execution. This execution took place 4 years before I graduated high school. So I guess I was in the ninth grade. It gives the account of this execution in 1973 by a firing squad of three men from his diocese. February the 10th began as a sad day for us and Cabal. People were commanded to come to the stadium and witness the execution. Death permeated the atmosphere. A silent crowd of about 3,000 were there to watch. He said, I had permission from the authorities, this is the bishop, to speak to the men before they died. And two of my fellow ministers were with me. They brought the men in a truck and they unloaded them. They were handcuffed and their feet were chained. The firing squad stood at attention. As we walked into the center of the stadium, I was wondering what to say. How do you give the gospel to doomed men who are probably seething with rage? We approached them from behind, and as they turned to look at us, what a sight. Their faces were alit with an unmistakable glow and a radiance. Before we could say any of them, one of them burst out and said, Bishop, thank you for coming. I just want to tell you, the day I was arrested in my prison cell, I asked the Lord Jesus to save me and come into my heart. He came in and forgave me of all my sin. He said, heaven is now open and there is nothing between me and my God. These men are fixing to be executed in front of a firing squad. And they're going to die in victory because they started in victory. They journeyed in victory. And now they're going to be looking into heaven in victory. This is what he said. Heaven is now open. There's nothing between me and my God. Listen to this. Please tell my wife and children that I'm going to be with Jesus. Ask them to accept him into their lives. As I did. The other two men told similar stories, excitingly raising their hands. I want you to watch this now. They're in handcuffs and they're chained to their feet. They're raising their hands, which rattled the handcuffs. I felt that what I needed to do was talk to the soldiers, not to the condemned. So I translated what the men had said into a language the soldiers understood. The military men were standing there with their guns cocked and bewilderment on their faces. They were so dumbfounded that they forgot to put the hoods over the men's faces. They generally, before they shoot them in a firing squad, put a hood over their head. The three faced the firing squad standing close together. They looked toward the people and began to wave, handcuffs and all. The people waved back. Then the shots were fired. These three men were with Jesus. We stood in front of them, our own hearts throbbing with joy, mingled with tears. It was a day never to be forgotten. Though dead, the men spoke loudly to all of that district and beyond, so that there was an upsurge of life in Christ, which challenges death and defeats it. The next Sunday, I was preaching to a huge crowd in the hometown of one of these executed men. And again, the feel of death was all over the congregation. But when I gave them the testimony of their man and how he died, there erupted a great song of praise to Jesus. And many turned to the Lord. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. These men were facing death with a Savior in their heart, and we're not afraid to die. I appreciate so very much the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight, if you're not saved, you need to get saved. And I'd say this, if you're saved and you're not serious about walking with God, you need to get serious about walking with God, because somebody's watching you. Somebody's following you. Somebody's listening to you, and you can have an impact on somebody's life. Beloved, it's a blessing to start right. It's a blessing to journey right, and it's a blessing to die right for the cause of Christ. Amen. I believe, John, I meant to look it up today. Do you happen to know, Brother Steve, does anybody happen to know how John died? I meant to look it up. I didn't refresh my memory. I knew at one time, but I forget so many things. But these men in the Bible, they didn't just live for God. They died for God. And many, many people down through the years, beloved, have been burned at the stake, boiled in oil, because they would not deny the Christ of this Bible. And I say hallelujah. We can, my friend, listen, go out in victory. We can walk in victory. If you're not saved, you can begin in victory tonight. Just like Tyler and just like Haley, just like many others, you can say yes to the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Let's bow for prayer tonight.